For God, at this time, we pray that your Spirit would move among us and that you would open us up to your most holy word. For we ask it in the name of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
What you're going to hear is not the sermon I had planned. I hate it when that happens. This gospel lesson, you love it when people come to Jesus and they try to trap him and he gets them with a zinger line that they can't respond to. Throws it back on them. You just gotta love it. And you know, I was hoping that we could talk about that some. And that's one of my favorite things in this story is that Jesus asked them for that coin, which was a blasphemous coin. It has the image of Tiberius on it, but the inscription around it says that he's the Son of God. But what makes that so cute in the story is that, well, they're on the temple. They're in the temple, and Jesus doesn't have one, but they do. I just love that, yeah. Show me the coin. Yeah, show me the money. And they do. And it would have especially fit, I think, that gospel really fits, because last Monday, those of you who are like me, who filed for an extension on paying your taxes, they were due Monday. I got them in. But when I owe money, I like to wait till the last second. And I did finally render to Caesar what was Caesar's. Because I know if they don't, you know, they'll come and get me. But I don't want, taxes are not the subject for today. Although we'll journey back to this gospel text in just a little bit. I wanted to share some things with you. Part of this will be testimony. Ordinarily, I don't include a whole lot of testimony, stories, but not testimony. But I was reading an article earlier this week about the James Webb Space Telescope. Are you all familiar with that? And it is phenomenal. They've been able to look at objects way, way more distant than ever before. As they're looking back in time. And I read that the most distant galaxy they've found has a very romantic name, HD1. But HD1 is 13.5 billion light years away. Now, if you think about that for a moment, one light year, the measurement of distance, 6 trillion miles. That's one light year. This is 13.5 billion of those. You do the math. I can't, because if I come out with the number, I'm not going to know what it is. And for me, I'm not a mathematician. I went into ministry because we only have one book called Numbers. Math is not my strong suit at all. But to me, that's just incomprehensible, that distance. I don't have anything to compare it with. I really don't. And that is not even, that number is nowhere near telling us anything about the vastness of the universe. It's way bigger than that. In the observable universe, scientists estimate, and it said And the article I was reading is that they estimate, because no one is going to sit down and count these, they estimate there are approximately 2 trillion galaxies in the observable universe, each one containing billions of stars. And I was reading this and trying to understand. I thought of myself, my being, in comparison to the vastness of the universe. Both the universe known and the universe unknown. And of course, the first scripture that came to mind as I was sitting there was from Psalm 8. When I look at the vastness of the heavens, the works of thy fingers, the moon, the stars, which thou hast established. What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou dost care for him? I think if it weren't for that verse, I would have been so depressed. I'm nothing. I'm not even a grain of dust in comparison to that. Small and insignificant against the immeasurable vastness of space. And that would be very, very, very depressing were it not for the fact that the God who created all of that, it's going to sound selfish, the God who created all of that created me in his image. The God of all of this sees me. He hears me. He loves me. And wants to be intimately involved in my life. If I'll let him.
Amen.
Now, I have shared some of this story with you, and I'm going to... I apologize. The parts you know, you'll hear again. But I am very excited. I'm jazzed about what God has done and is doing. And so I'm going to share that with you. For the past 10 years, I have worked for a ministry called Scripture Awakening, and that was a blessing to work for that ministry. Their mission is to awaken the world to the power of God's word. And hundreds of thousands of people in the English-speaking world. We don't know the exact number because there are a lot of copycat versions of things out there. But they've used that curriculum. And as an ordained minister working with them, my job was to work with ministers and congregations and to travel, meet with people, talk to them about this, the curriculums and how to use them and train it. And I loved that. And sometimes I got to preach in those churches. I loved that even more. It was just a great job. And it began as the ministry grew. My job grew to incorporate more and more things. That's the way of it. And it grew to include making sure that the warehouse, we had a fulfillment warehouse, that they had all of the materials they need. And if not, to talk to them. I became sort of the customer service guy. When people didn't understand what was going on, it was my number. It was my phone number. And so after we made it through the pandemic. But one of the coolest things happened in the pandemic, though, an entire diocese of the Episcopal Church, the Florida Diocese, which is the northern part of Florida, their bishop wanted to do Bible in 90 days. And so did all the congregations. And then they got caught in the pandemic and couldn't get together. And I got to talk to all of those churches and tell them how to use Zoom. Yippee! How do you Zoom and give them the rights to use the material on Zoom? And I would just, it was great, but they did it. They did it. And then my job became more administrative. And after the pandemic, I was sitting in an office by myself, because most people were still working from home. And I spent the day talking to people on the phone and doing administrative stuff. Not my gifting, really. And I was far afield of what I thought my gifts were and what I thought my call was when God had called me into ministry. And I remember this 2 years ago asking Bishop Jones for a word from God. Will God release me from this ministry for another ministry? And God gave me two words. Not yet. Not yet. And when I asked him, that was the answer I would get. Not yet. Not yet. And after a while, I stopped asking. You know, after you hear not yet enough times. But the last time Bishop Jones was here for a Clericus, I didn't ask him. But he told me that he had a word from the Lord for me. And that word was that there is a new ministry coming for me. That was exciting to hear. And he said, but there are some things you have to finish in this ministry first. He said, but you'll know when it comes, because at the end, and this was the strangest prophecy of all times, you will know, because at the end, there will be a wiggle. And he said, I have no idea what that means. He said, but there's going to be a wiggle. And supposedly I would know it when it happened. And he did warn me, or admonish me, didn't warn me, that, you know, don't do anything to try to make this happen. This is something the Lord is doing. And so I was kind of happy. You know, something was coming. And God's usually 100% true to his word. So I knew it was coming. I just didn't know how, when, or what. And following the Clericus, a lot of things happened at Scripture Awakening. We got a new website. And we needed a new website because we had a new app. And we needed a new app because we had completed the online version of Bible in 90 days. And it was free. People could get in there and use it for free. Anything electronic on their website is free. And then one day I was sitting there and I wired the last payment to Seville for the Spanish translation. Wow. She had finished the translation. And I was there in the office by myself and said, what else do I have to do? What more is there that I'm supposed to do? I didn't know. And my prayer, which had been my prayer for a couple of years, was, Lord, don't let my ministry end like this. Now, I'm 67 years old. I hopefully have a lot more time, but not nearly as much as I've already spent. And then one Monday morning in the office, the executive director came in for our staff meeting. And it was fun. Belinda pointed this out to me later. Everything happened on a Monday, almost. On the Monday, he came in and he started telling us about the board meeting that they had had on Friday. And he was saying the most outlandish, crazy, insane stuff that the board wanted to do. And they were going to bring in an office manager, and they were going to do all these kinds of things. And it was going to involve like three more people coming on board. Ordinarily, all of that goes through the staff first before it goes to the board. And it didn't. It's just all this insane stuff. And he kept talking, and the more he talked, I was just getting angry. Uh-oh. And they've done an end run around the staff. And as I started to speak up, I felt someone tell me, don't do it. And so I sat there and then I thought, what if this is the wiggle? What if this is it? So we all have somewhat a spirit of discernment. And I didn't think I qualified in this situation for discernment since I had a horse in the race. I knew what I wanted the answer to be. So I called, and this is what you, when you have a moment and you don't know what the Lord is saying to you or you're not sure, call your rector, call an elder in the church. And so I just called Father Bell. I didn't tell him what was going on. I said, can you have lunch with me? And so I said, I'm looking for a spirit of discernment. And that was all I told him. And we had lunch, or we sat down for lunch. And he said, I have no idea what you're getting ready to tell me, but I do have a word from the Lord for you. But you tell me first. And so I told him that part of the sermon you've already heard. I won't do it again. And I said, I need to know one thing. Is this the wiggle? Is this the wiggle? And Father Bell then told me the word that God had given him that morning in prayer for me. And with one word, the answer was, yes. Needless to say, I was elated. I was. The word from God was the word I had waited for a long time. And Father Bill asked me, he said, what would you like to do in ministry? And I said, my dream job would be to be a chaplain in hospice or in a hospital. I said, but I don't qualify. I never qualify when you see those want ads, because they always require that you have at least one unit of clinical pastoral education. And I had not had one. Father Bill did his in Houston. I had not done it. And Father Bill said a very sweet thing. He said, if you will find a CPE program, the church will pay your tuition. Now I was really jazzed. Here's a chance. Here's a chance. And ordinarily CPE is done in the summer, a 10-week program. And I went home and I'm looking and I couldn't find one. I couldn't find one. And that very evening, Father Bill called me and he said, Miranda, being the librarian, spending a lot of time on the computer, has found the only CPE program here in Western North Carolina is at the VA hospital. And she gave me the name of the woman who was in charge of that. And the phone number, it was, woo! I mean, if you thought I was excited when I left lunch, I was really excited. And so I called and left a message on her phone. Mary Foley was her name. And on Monday, she called me back. I'm sitting there in the office, and she started talking to me about CPE. And she said, I'm really sorry, we don't have a summer CPE program. We don't have the people to staff it. Yeah, that's kind of depressing. But then she said, have you considered becoming a clinical pastoral education resident and working as a chaplain for a year? And she said, there's no tuition for that. We pay you. And, well, gee. But I told her, I said, I've seen those before online, and they all require one unit of CPE to get into the program. I said, I don't have that. But we had already been talking. She'd asked me about my ministry, and I'd filled her in all the things I'd done, ever in a day. And she said, we'll waive that. You don't need to have that one. You have enough experience in ministry. She said, I want you to apply. So I was really jazzed. And she told me where to go to fill out the forms and all that. Of course, I was not jazzed about that. Unbelievable. Federal government, a lot of forms. But I filled all that stuff out. I sent it in. And the following Monday, she called and said they had one position left and put me in for that, which was great. And Father Bill kept encouraging me through this whole process. He said, I think that slot's yours. I think that slot's yours. But then I got a call on the next Monday that said HR had given that slot to someone else. But she said, I want you in the program, so I want you to be an alternate in case somebody drops out or can't show up. And if that doesn't work out, you are first in next year's group. And I was trying to figure out, what am I going to do for a year? What will I do? But Father Bill kept saying, he kept those words of encouragement. I think it's going to happen. I think it's going to happen. And about two Mondays later, I got a phone call to tell me that Mary Foley, the woman who had done my interview and wanted me in her program, had left. Oh. Wasn't there anymore. I'm thinking, oh, this is really getting sad. You know, you get all pumped up and let me pull that rug out from under you. But the next phone call said someone dropped out of the program. Are you willing to take that position? And I said to her, hallelujah, amen, yes. Exactly. Well, a little more emphasis than that when I said it. I had already turned in my resignation at work, even though I didn't have a new job, because I knew God was going to do something. And I did. Scripture Awakening needed someone else in that position who loves to do that. And so it wouldn't be fair for me to stay there. And I really needed the liberation. So I got that position. Tomorrow's Monday. And we are going to be released onto the floor to minister with patients. I'm excited. My colleagues are excited. We've finished the orientation. We're ready to go. I'll be working in surgical ICU for the next 6 months. It is exciting. Now, did God do this because I'm special? Why? I'm special. It's like the Smothers Brothers. God always loved me best. But I'm no more special than you. I'm no more chosen than you. You're God's favorite.
Yes.
And I want you to consider this, that out of the vastness of this entire universe, God created you in his image. Mm-hmm. Created each one of you in his image. And God sees you. And God hears you. And God knows you. And God is so deeply and desperately in love with each one of you. He wants to be intimately involved in your lives if you will let him. I'm going to go back for a second to the Pharisees and the Herodians. We've all met people like them. It's great that the Pharisees and the Herodians sent these people to Jesus because they hate each other. They hated each other. But there was only one thing they hated more. It was Jesus. And so they go there to trap him. This question about the imperial palace. Jesus asked for the coin because he didn't have one. So they brought it to him. And he asked, whose image is this? Whose inscription? It's Caesar's. Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's and to God the things that are God's. Now, think about the things that you own that are valuable. A lot of times, we put our names on them. Mine! Mine! I even have my name on my Bible. Mine! Inscriptions, if I could, you would put our pictures on. I wanted to... You all won't be able to see this very well. I'll see if I can hold it up where the people at home on Zoom can see it. It's a Gary Larson cartoon from The Far Side. And there is a cowboy. Let's see if I can get this up here close enough for you to see. Getting ready to brand the cattle. And he's got a brand that's about the size of the cow. And it says, this cow belongs to Daryl Jones, so hands off. But what makes it cute is seeing the cows in the background with their eyes. They see the brand. We mark what's ours. We mark what's ours. God marks what is his. You're marked with the sign of the cross. You belong to him. You are God's cherished treasure. You are God's favorite. I want you to, if you can think about it, if you can think about the vastness of all that God's created and is intimately involved with and running in all the people's lives God's intimately involved with, and yet he still loves you. I mean, it's not going to be like, you want to pray, hang on a second. Hang on. I'm talking to somebody over here in India. When I get finished, I'll get back to you. You're 12th in line. Take a number, please. It doesn't happen. God is as intimately involved in your life as you will allow him to be. You are created in his image. You belong to him. His image is on you. I would just close by saying, remember who you are but more importantly, remember whose you are. You bear the image and the inscription of Almighty God. Amen.
Amen. Amen.